This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Patrick Crochet, being around in the last 3 weeks, you know, what have you kind of picked up about him?
A strong dude that knows his art or his craft, whatever you want to call it. Working hard with the pitching group to keep getting better. I think for him, last year was last year. You know, he just got a taste of what it is to be a big league starter. And he's eager to get this going and give us 30 starts and help us win.
Hour two, Jones and Keefe. That was Alex Cora yesterday before Garrett Crochet made another start in Red Sox spring training. The numbers, Keefe, for Crochet, pristine. 3 appearances, 6 1/3 inning. 6 hits, 5 walks, so that is a lot of base runners. But 14 strikeouts. He had 7 Ks and 2-plus innings yesterday.
Yeah, so you know what? It doesn't matter who's playing third base when he's on the mound. It's just all strike. Oh, you and I could play third base. Yeah. He's just going to strike everybody out.
This is a great point. Maybe on Crochet's starts, you play Devers at third. It keeps him happy. He can still claim he's a third baseman, and you don't even need him out there.
Yeah, so instead of like a personal catcher, he gets a personal third baseman.
That's a great idea.
Devers, you're still a third baseman just on Crochet starts.
That's a great idea. And now he's a third baseman, and he's less embarrassed, and you don't even need him, and it doesn't hurt the team. And wow.
Yeah, gets like one ball hit to him a game. He's
brilliant.
Like, if that.
Brilliant.
He's like, I get to play third. Sure you do, Raffy.
So we can get into Garrett Crochet and what his ceiling is for the Red Sox. They've also talked extension with a young player on the roster, Roman Anthony, which we'll get to coming up. Rob Bradford joins us about half an hour from now, actually less than that, at 11:30 here on Jones and Keefe, as he does every Thursday. We'll put the Patriots on the clock, Patriots free agency in 60 seconds. I have a 60-second plan. Keith has a 60-second plan. We'll get to those at high noon, as we do each and every Thursday. And also, before the end of the hour, Keith, we'll give you some updated results on the unveiling of the Jones and Keith bracket. You can go to at Jones and Keith right now on Twitter and start voting. It is the Chargers Powder Blues matched up against the Bengals White Bengal uniforms.
Yeah, the White Tiger. The White Bengal Tiger. I'm excited for this.
That's
our matchup.
That's our 1 versus 16 in the football region. We're going to get you all the 1-16 matchups today. Baseball, hockey, and basketball all on the horizon. But you can start voting there. We'll get you 4 different 1 versus 16 matchups today. We'll update the polling throughout the course of the show. So, Keith, you just blew my mind with this new personal third baseman for Garrett Crochet. But that aside, what do you think the ceiling is for Crochet? Like, Chris Sale, Pedro is too high of an impact, but like that level of year one impact where he comes in, he's a Cy Young candidate, he's a bona fide ace. I mean, is that what we're talking about for a ceiling?
Yeah. Like, honestly, yes. Because we're talking about how this is a lock playoff team now, and Bregman kind of pushed him over the top. But you and I both had them in the playoffs before Bregman signed. We, for some reason, were talking about that the day before he signed. Like, are they a playoff team? And we're like, yeah, I wish they did more, but yeah, they are.
Right. We weren't super confident, but we're like, they're probably a playoff team. Yeah.
No, I'm too high on Garrett Crochet. I think Alex Cora mentioned there, like, hey, you got a taste of what it was like last year, and this year, you know, he can make 30 starts. If he makes 30 starts, I think he's going to win the Cy Young. I think it's going to come down to, like, him and Tarek Skubal, and, you know, can a guy win back-to-back Cy Youngs? You feel like pitchers are so fragile, it's so tough to do something like that, just to be, you know, that durable, let alone that dominant. So, Crochet is I think he's the second favorite right now. We were talking about the numbers of who's going to lead the majors in strikeouts. He's considered to be in the top three or four for that as well. So, no, if there's no pitch count on him or innings limit and he avoids injury, I think he's going to be the best pitcher in the American League. So I couldn't be more optimistic about him.
Okay, what if he's healthy, but he's a cut below what we expect, right? So he's making, you know, I don't know if he's going to make 32, 33 starts, but he's making in the high 20s. You know, maybe there's a minor DL stint in there, but largely he's healthy, and the numbers just aren't quite what we expect. Are they still a playoff team? Like, he's a better pitcher than they've had.
Okay,
you know,
so,
he's not a Cy Young candidate, but, you know, he's out there. He's not quite the ceiling we expect, but he's making his starts. They're still a playoff team, right?
Yeah, I think so. Like, in this scenario, is he still the best they have? Like, are you talking like
He's better than Buehler. You know, he's not quite as advertised, but I'll give you the we were doing the projected stats the other day. They all sounded very low.
Yeah, what do you got? Those stats. Don't look at the baseball reference projections. I don't know what's up with those. Go to like ESPN Fantasy or something. They give you a better projection, I think.
But if I guess my point is, he's healthy. He underachieves on the ceiling a little bit, but he's out there. He's the best starter they've had, and I would still feel pretty good about their ceiling and where they're going to go.
Yeah, no, me too. I think him winning the Cy Young would be incredible, but I don't think you need that in order for them to make the playoffs. I think he could still be a guy that is at the top of that rotation, and, you know, it also slots everybody else into where they are. I think you're going to have, you know, we'll see what they do. I know they talked about that idea of like a six-man rotation, but that'll figure itself out. I don't think that's going to happen.
Me neither.
But at least you're not going to be, you know, all due respect, because he did the best he could for a while, but like Cooper Criswell made way too many starts last year.
Yep.
And he did the best he could. He actually had some good ones, but you were relying on too many guys like that throughout the year, whereas right now you're set up to be in a much, much better spot.
So text line, 617-779-7937. Guys, can we see if Crochet averages more than 4.5 innings a start first? Fair point.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
this is what I mean. He might, if he's making all his starts, and the text line also points out he did make his starts a year ago, but he was heavily, heavily managed.
Well, in the second half, he was like,
thank you.
He was a glorified opener.
Yeah, not wire to wire, but in the second half, he was managed, you know, with the kid gloves. So, I mean, fair point. He made his starts last year. But if he's going to be around 200 innings, I do wonder if that impacts the stuff at all. The workload catches up to him, and he starts to lose it a little bit throughout the year. He's not Chris Sale frame-wise, but we would see Chris Sale lose it as the year went along. That, I think, was more related to the frame. This would be more related to Crochet never doing it.
Can I give you Tarek Skubal year-by-year innings?
Yeah.
So Tarek Skubal with the Tigers, who's one of the best. He's the reigning Cy Young winner. So cup of coffee in 2020. That was also the shortened season. So 2021, 149 innings.
Okay.
That's a lot of innings. Then he went down to 117.
Mm-hmm.
Then it went down to 80. And then last year, 192. So it was trending in the wrong direction for him. And then it's far and away a career high. And the guy had the best ERA he's ever had, obviously.
So Skubal, what did you say, 192? He was still only 192.
Yeah, 31 starts. So I think his innings per start weren't horrible, but 31 starts, so he must have missed two somewhere along
the
way.
I mean, that answers to me that, like, if you're hoping for 200 innings from Crochet, you're not getting it. But
I don't know.
I would obviously take that year. 192 in those peripherals? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. No, I definitely would. But that's also one of those stats, you know, we're talking about in you know, like in certain numbers, like 1,000-yard seasons and stuff like that. How many 200-inning pitchers do you think there were in baseball last year?
Oh, I mean, if Skubal wasn't one of them, like three?
Yeah. Four. And Zach Wheeler had exactly 200 innings. Logan Webb had 204. Seth Lugo had 206. And Logan Gilbert led the majors with 208.
Okay. That's it. 208.
208's the high.
Randy Johnson was throwing, what were they throwing back at that? 300 innings and things like this. Maybe not Randy Johnson, but like
Cy Young's talking about 560.
Randy was up there. He had like 20 complete games one year or something crazy.
Yeah. I would say even like Sabathia probably had some like 250s.
Hang on. Now I'm curious.
Now you're curious.
Well, I want to fact check myself. Oh, I'll give you a stat, by the way, while I'm fact-checking on Randy
Johnson.
I'll
take a stat.
What do you think Bill Russell's career high was? You were like, he probably it wouldn't have been like Russell and Cousy going for 40
points
in the same game. What do you think his career high points was? Yes.
36.
37. Good guess.
Damn. I'm all over it.
You really are. Randy Johnson's high in innings, 271. So not 300, but still. I'm blowing that out of the water. 617-779-7937. What is Garrett Crochet's ceiling, and how relevant is it to the Red Sox making the postseason? I think they're a playoff team, even if he underachieves. But I think if he's going to be Tarik Skubal and he's going to break out and be the Cy Young, you're really talking about, you know, an upper echelon American League team that can go on a deep, deep run. So your thoughts there. One other minor Red Sox note, and then I think we might update Keefe's Beefs here in a moment.
Oh, man. Come on. It's getting pretty crowded.
One other minor Red Sox note. Alex Speer had this the other day. That the Red Sox have shown interest in discussing a long-term deal with Roman Anthony this spring.
All right.
Anthony says, I haven't really thought about it much. For me right now, there's one goal. It's to make the team. Being out here with these guys, the resources, the last thing I want to do is take something like that out of my mind, blah, 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 blah. This, to me, emphasizes what we've been talking about with the Red Sox. I don't know that Christian Campbell, with the spring he's having, deserves to break camp with the Sox. At last check, he was doing horribly so far in spring, although it's a small sample size. But this is evidence to me that the Red Sox are holding these guys back purely on contract. And if Anthony's willing to play ball with them on a contract, he'll make the opening day roster. If he's not, he's ticketed to Worcester, and we'll see him in May or June at the earliest.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I mean, they wouldn't be the only team that does it that way. You know, it's kind of frustrating. At least I think they'll have major league guys play in the positions until the young guys come up. It's way worse when you have kind of scrubs taking the spot until
right.
You're like, that is so blatant. Like, that is so obvious what you're doing. But I think, you know, like if Willier, Abreu, and Duran and like those guys are all in the outfield, you're like, okay, like that's fine. I guess you can wait for Roman Anthony. I'm also always curious with the young guys about if they're willing to accept deals early. Now, everybody has a different thing going on. Everybody, you know, that money up front is obviously huge, but the guys that bet on themselves end up, if they hit, making a lot more money.
Okay. Well, no, I agree with that. So yeah. The comp that Speer had in the Globe, and I'm going to butcher the name.
Okay.
As I know from the Severance recaps that you guys do on the Dork podcast, Keith, you know, pronunciation, not your strong suit.
Not my thing. You know who I'm talking about, so let's not, you know, get all hot and bothered about
it. Not my strong suit. the rookie on the Brewers last year, Jackson Chourio.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep. Nailed it.
Honey Nut.
I know who you're talking about, so that's all you there you go.
Honey Nut Chourios.
Yeah.
So he signed, prior to playing a game in the majors, an 8-year, $82 million contract for the Brewers. He was third rookie of the year in the voting last year. He hit 275 with 21 homers, 22 steals. The only reason I highlight that is because I know you're skeptical of the guys who sign early. Like, they might sign because they know they're going to suck.
Yeah.
My point is he was pretty good. That's the comp that Alex Speer is bringing up. So, like, 8 years, 80 mil for this guy? He hasn't played a game in the majors. Is that good business is one discussion. And then if the Red Sox are willing to approach that at all, is that another sign about Henry and his willingness to spend, or is it the opposite? He's trying to trap this kid in a contract before he's going to be a $200, $300 million player or whatever.
Yeah, I would look at it maybe more that way, where it's we saw what happened with Mookie Betts, and then they kind of were forced to move on from him. And if this guy is still in his arbitration years and he's an all-star and like an MVP candidate, I mean, he's the top prospect in baseball. So 8 for 82 might actually be a good business move. I mean, how much did they give Ruslan Castillo? Who like,
oh, 50-something? You know? I mean, they paid
they paid
Rafaela basically before he had played any big league
right.
games. He had a cup of coffee in September. They paid
Bayo.
Thank you. They paid Bayo early, not this early.
Not,
but they
no,
paid
yeah,
Bayo
we'd
early.
Seen him yeah. at least.
Castillo was 7 for 72.
Oh, wow. That's even more than I thought.
And that was years
ago. He played
ago.
Like a yeah. season and three quarters.
Okay. I would have guessed like 50. I was just looking that up.
Is he in the Paw Sox Hall of Fame?
No,
I mean, he played
not.
A lot of games there.
I don't even know if he's in the Team Cuba Hall of Fame.
No, he may not be. That. Well, listen, that was a miss.
Yeah.
You know, they can't all be winners.
Nope.
But I think the Anthony one has a chance 3 or 4 years into that to be in an absolute steal.
So that's,
and so I look at it more like that than like, oh, we identify this guy.
It's not a sign of Henry and his ways of spending.
I don't
it's
think
a
so.
Sign of Henry still being cheap. Okay. You can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, Keith, I know you're in the Dragons' lair today. today, split squad on remote. So maybe you weren't driving around as you normally were. I shot you a text this morning because I heard Mike Milbury. I was very curious to hear Mike Milbury discussing the Bruins and the trade deadline.
Sure, yeah.
And I
Hockey Thursday.
Well, yeah, let me pop on Mike Milbury on a Bruins Thursday, and well, let's hear what the man, he volunteered this on his own. Let's hear what the man had to say.
Wiggy, take care of this guy. Give him a smack in the head. No, I don't like Rick.
Okay, so that was, I did a poor job setting that up. That was, he was talking about Rich Keefe. He came on and he said, Courtney, do you have a, was there some kind of scrap that you had about your reporting?
Wiggy, take care of this guy. Give him a smack in the head.
And that's about you, Keefe. So I don't know if we need to immediately, like on the fly, update Keefe's beefs with Mike Milbury. I would caution
you. That seems out of, like, from the clouds.
I would caution you to be careful with this guy because, you know, you could be a patron just sitting at a hockey game and he'll come beat you with his own shoe. You could be at a Mites child hockey game and the guy could come rough you up. So I'd be careful with this one, Keith.
Well, when I first heard that, I was thinking if I was a 12-year-old kid, I'd be in a lot of trouble because that is for sure one of his targets. That is concerning, you know. If Mike Milbury is not afraid to put hands on you.
No, like this is
again. You could be in sixth grade, minding your own business, a little elementary school, just out of recess. Next thing you know, former professional hockey player putting his hands on you. That's a real thing that happened.
I'm just saying there's an element of violence in this one, Keith, that I don't know that we've had in the other Keith's beefs. Man. Like I don't think we had to worry about.
What's his issue?
Razor leaping across the table or anything like that.
Nope, more mild-mannered than Razor.
Yeah, for sure.
This guy, a little bit of a loose cannon, a known loose cannon. Yes. That's part of his charm, I think.
Absolutely.
That's why people love him. They love listening to him. So I'm curious why he was so mad at me? I think he met this guy.
I think he was just defending his queen, I think is what he was doing. I think he was one of those, Keith.
Got it.
White knighting? Simping.
Who's white knighting?
Simping, as they call it. I think it's some of what was going on.
But then he wanted Wiggy to smack me. Now he's getting Wiggy involved.
Yeah, well, he's not going to come in and smack you himself, or he might.
I mean,
he's not going to come in here. He's too busy at the rinks.
It's true.
Don't sign CeCe up for, you know, learn to play or mites or anything like that.
Because
he'll come. He'll be waiting for you in the Borica rink.
Can't do it. It's too expensive a sport anyway. I'm going to steer her the hell out of there. No chance playing hockey.
So if you had to pick a tier to upgrade Keefe's beef, so if we had to place this on a tier, is this a goat beef? Is this a frisky beef?
No, it's just one-sided. It just started.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's another guy. I mean, he could pummel me if he wanted to. And he might. Turns out he might.
He'll stick Wiggy on you, if nothing else.
Maybe put him frisky with Courtney.
Okay.
Also, everyone's making it out to be like, I have a beef. I don't have a new issue with Courtney. I was just pointing out the fact that her breaking news wasn't breaking news. That's all.
Yeah, right.
That's all I was saying. And I was like, yeah.
Text line added, he said he doesn't like you based on
doesn't that. Like
so,
me?
That's what the text line
is. Yeah. No,
Wiggy,
I don't like Rick.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, wow. Right on cue.
Got my name right, though. Yeah. So it's different than like a John Farrell type beef. At least he knows who he's talking about.
Yeah, this is not John Farrell level.
Yeah.
No. It's not even.
No. Man.
Who was the comic who said you stole his joke? Why am I blanking?
Gary Goldman.
Gary Goldman. Yeah, I don't want to start any beef with Gary Goldman now, but it's not even a Gary Goldman level.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Like I said,
add Mike Milbury to the list. Holy mackerel. Not good.
You're just minding your own business, tending to a sick child.
That's what I'm trying to do. And you got Hockey Insider. Mike, it's something with hockey, man. These hockey people get all hot and bothered.
They do. Have you noticed
They're
that
angry.
About the hockey hardos? They get triggered real quick.
Yeah.
Milbury, Razor.
The guy who traded away Zdeno Chara is all fired up at me now. He had a lot of good Islanders moves, I remember. he was on it.
I'll tell you what, to tie it in, though, he was the GM there, not so good with his transactions, but he was the GM there when they had the good...
good unis?
Yeah. What was the the sea captain there? The seaman they had on
the seaman.
On the jersey. You know what I'm talking about? He was in the big coat with the hat. They had a name for those jerseys. I like those. I thought about putting those on my list.
Yeah, that's not bad. I don't think it's one of the 16 best.
Well,
it's
absolutely not because the bracket is set. And you can vote at Jones and Keefe. We have at least one matchup up there now. I know our football matchup is up there. Let me just check. On the fly here. That's the one we have now. We'll get more up there in short order where you can vote along in the Jones and Keefe uniform bracket for March Madness. Chargers and Bengals are the matchup right now. Go vote We'll get you the results later on throughout the course of the week. We'll have the full bracket up in short order, so stay tuned for that. We will update those results. We'll get to Bradfoe. Rob Bradford joins us every Thursday here. We'll get his thoughts on Garrett Crochet and his ceiling, his thoughts on what he's hearing with Roman Anthony, any contract extensions there, and more on the Red Sox.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll update the results to our first matchup, 1 versus 16, in the football region. The uniforms, we got the powder blue Chargers unis going toe-to-toe with the white Bengal Tiger unis, 1 versus 16, up now at Jones and Keefe. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. We will also get to the Patriots, our 60-second plans for free agency at high noon, as we do each and every Thursday here on WEEI. But joining us right now is Rob Bradford, WEEI.com, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. He is co-sponsored by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Easter Mass and all of the Cape depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com, by the E.L. Harvey companies, including Nauset Disposal and Mega Disposal, your local trash collection and recycling providers, and by Aviva Trattoria, Italian-inspired, locally made from fresh, whole, locally sourced ingredients. Rob Bradford, how are we doing this week?
Oh, good. McFarland, my friends. McFarland to you all. And I will say this. I like the uniform thing, but I also want to do Major League Baseball mascots.
Okay.
On a power rank, because I got into a little tiff with the Parrot up in Bradenton the other day.
Now, what team is that? The Parrot?
The Pirates.
The Pirates mascot is a parrot?
I don't think this is your first mascot feud, Bradfo. I feel like we've talked to you about, was it the Braves mascot you had an issue with?
Oh, no, well, the Philly Fanatic and Braves, when I was doing the broadcast with Will Fleming, they came up to cause chaos, which is always good for radio, right?
Yeah, it plays real well.
Yeah, it plays really well. In this case, I was talking smack about the parrot because I looked down in Bradenton, and this parrot is sitting in the stand looking like he's asleep. You know, like they tell the mascots, if you're going to take a break, go in the back room. This parrot was just sitting there, hunched over. Somebody asked to take a selfie with him. He sort of haphazardly just sort of turns like, yay, okay, goes right back. So I start saying on the air, I'm like, I've never seen anything like this in my life. And then I didn't realize that there was a guy next to him with a radio mic. So next thing I know, he starts looking up at the booth and starts making signals to me. I'm like, okay, all right, let's do it. Let's go.
Pardon the pun, the parrot sleeping really flies in the face of baseball being boring. So
well,
I understand you wanted to sort of step in there and be like, how can this happen? How can this take place?
I am one mascot at a time. That's the first step of it, which I am not going to accept that a mascot, all the people that should understand the great game of baseball is not boring. It should be the mascots. But, hey, listen, it's spring training for everybody, right?
True. I would love to see Bradfo at, like, Disney World just yelling at people about how to do their jobs.
Oh, I got into it with the Astros mascot once behind the scenes.
What?
Where
how many mascots have you got?
I'm telling you, he's got a real issue with mascots.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, you know, listen, I'm not going to say I know that all these mascots are real things and real creatures and everything, but this to say that they aren't. This is to suggest that they have some human being.
No souls?
Yeah.
There's different levels of human beings or different levels of souls in them.
Wow.
And the Astros, I guess it was Orbit. And I was just like, hey, hello, can I take a picture, whatever it was. And he basically attacked me. So, yeah, not a good day for Orbit. Not a good day for me.
You know what we need? You're asking us. We need your mascot power rankings. Maybe from
I've done this week. I'm not going to lie to you. You get through innings 7 through 9 on the road sometimes on the spring training games. You're ranking the mascots.
Yeah.
But the one in Texas, which is a human being with a horse head, might be the worst. I think that's the worst.
Was that a centaur?
No, it's definitely, believe me, if it was a centaur, it would be good.
Okay.
No, they just plopped a horse head on some, like, human body, and that's what it was. But I Philly Fanatic's the best. I mean, it's not
He's the man. I love the Fanatic.
Yeah. Not even a question, because he's not afraid of anyone. He is not He is not deferring to anyone. He knows he's the show. He knows he's been around long enough, so he can do anything he wants, and he takes advantage of it.
I'm a little nervous, but I don't want to see Bradfo get canceled over, like, his bias against these mascots. You know what I mean? Like, in cancel culture out there today, Bradfo.
Jones. That's over.
That's true. It's Trump's America now. That's a good point. So that's out the window.
Can I also tell you how bizarre this scene is here? I'm in Dunedin, which I know it's like the Paris of Central Florida. I don't know what it is, but it's so I don't know if I've ever covered a game, spring training game, where the only two media members when we meet with the manager are the broadcasters. Me and Cooper Boardman are the only two people asking Alex Cora questions. Nope, because it's such a crappy drive to get up here, and then we love the lineup. There's going to be plenty of stuff to talk about, but the lineup isn't exactly representative of a first team group. So no other writers came up there. That's why you're very fortunate, because I get all the information.
Great.
Yeah, just us, just our broadcast.
Nice.
Okay, well let's hear it. What's the buzz right now on Garrett Crochet? Outside looking in, it looks like he's dominating. What's the buzz down there?
Yeah, he was dominant yesterday. And the thing is, it's not a great lineup. He went up against Tampa Bay, but at the same time, you look at this guy pitch, and I know that you guys are going to see this. It's just another image. So for instance, we were having this conversation after this game. Paul Skeens is pitching just down the road here in Sarasota. I'm like, I am going to stop and go that game. I'm thinking, what other pitchers would you go out of your way to watch? And, you know, listen, Paul Skeens is at a different level. But Crochet's not that far off. The way that he pitches, the image that he strikes, certainly so far, when you strike out whatever it is, 7 of 11 batters you face, like, he is not disappointed in terms of the hype coming in. That doesn't mean he's going to come in and win the Cy Young, because he still has a lot to prove. He's only started for 1 year, and he never went more than 4 innings after July 8th last year. But still, the image that he portrays is something that we just haven't seen in a long, long time. And so that's my biggest takeaway from yesterday.
You know, we were looking at the numbers earlier that only 4 pitchers last year hit the 200 inning mark. So clearly it's a different time. But is Crochet at the point where there's zero pitch count, there's zero limitation? Obviously, you're going to manage guys earlier in the season. Just you would do that with anybody, let alone guys that were, you know, coming off injury or coming off a less innings from the year before. But is it pretty much like, if Cora thinks, hey, this is a game he can go 7 or 8, like, he's going to be able to go 7 or 8?
Yeah, I think so. Last year, like I said, the White Sox went, they were to the extreme where you don't pitch more than 4 innings for the second half of the year. But I think this year, by all accounts, they're saying you're an ace. You're the guy that we're going to expect to go 6 or 7. But you're right. The way the baseball is going, you can have that guy, but that doesn't mean they're gonna just ride him out there like they used to. I mean, it's insane to think that relievers in the postseason last year, relievers pitched more innings than starters. That's crazy to me. Only one starter an entire postseason last year pitched as many as 8 innings, and that was Corbin Burns, 1 game. So, like, we understand the way the baseball is going, but I do think it's important still to get some of these guys who you know are going to go at least 6 innings. I mean, the whole thing about an ace with Garrett Crochet is he is the guy who protects everybody the day before, the day of, and the day after. That's what he has to do. And what that means in this day and age, that means pitching 6 innings. It used to mean pitching 8 innings, pitch 6 innings, but I don't think there's going to be limitations.
Rob Bradford, WEEI.com. Baseball isn't boring. You can hear him on the Red Sox calls this spring, including today. When it comes to Rafi Devers, behind schedule, he informed Alex Cora he needed more time. We've asked you in the past, is he in shape? You said no. How concerning is it that he is behind schedule?
I don't think it's concerning, because I think when you get dropped into Texas for that first game, he's going to be able to hit the baseball, and really that's all that counts when it comes to Rafael Devers. No matter what he says, no matter what anyone else says, he's going to be fine when it comes to that. Now, obviously, we're going to have to integrate, is he going to be able to field the position if they put him out there? What we know right now is that he hasn't appeared in a game. He hasn't even appeared as a game as hitter, although that seems to be right around the corner. Alex Bregman has not played second base at all, although Alex Cora just said that maybe after this off day on Monday, they really lock in on who's playing where, because they're just trying to get guys at bats. But all we have to go by is the here and the now. And the here and the now just says to me, Devers will be ready for opening day as the DH. Bregman's going to be ready for opening day as the third baseman. And then they're going to really hope that Vaughn Grissom and David Hamilton can do a good enough job where, at least to start the year until Christian Campbell gets going, maybe in the minor leagues, that those guys are your second baseman. That's how it feels right now.
So is it sort of the injury slash just not being 100%, is that really going to be the reason? Or do you think they would have ultimately come to that conclusion anyway for opening day?
Well, I mean, I think it's a combination. I think they can say it's the they obviously drew back on him early because of the injury. Now they're saying because his timing's a little off. But the injury was a reason why he wasn't coming out of the gate and just throwing the ball all over the place in the field in games. So you can say you can draw back and you were taking it slow because of the injury. And then you get there, even at the beginning of the year, we don't want him to jump into the same thing with Yoshida, right? Yoshida can't play the field. He's going to be limited, even though he can hit. So you have some crutches there with these injury things. But ultimately, you're going to have to make the decision. And I just come back to it where I've seen Alex Bregman now play down here. And, yes, like, he is as advertisement. He is an elite, elite third baseman. We've seen him make plays at JetBlue Park, which Rafael Devers simply cannot make. And, Russell, when you have that guy and you have another guy, which, you, by the way, you should preserve Rafael Devers. He has been hurt in the last couple of months of almost every year in the last 3 or 4 years. You should preserve him. So this is the logical way to go. just getting to that point where, you know, whether it's middle April or May, where the actual decision has to be made, where you're saying, Rafi, sorry, man, this is just how it is. That's going to be where the rubber meets the road in terms of that.
Okay, Bradfoe, there's some buzz that the Red Sox will approach Roman Anthony about a contract extension. They've paid Rafaela early. They paid Bayo pretty early as well. You've reported in the past they approached Cassis a year ago. Not a lot of traction there. Well, number one, where do you think this winds up? And number two, what does this represent, this shift, if you will, with the Red Sox attempting to get to some of these guys early?
I think, well, it's tremendously important for any organization. They know that. And doesn't any surprise with any of these three guys that you would approach a contract extension, because now you don't even have to play in the major leagues. I mean, this is the accepted thing in baseball, where if you're a top prospect, you're going to be offered a contract extension crazy early, and you should be. That this is, if you're confident in the guy being good, like they are with Roman Anthony, then fine. The problem is that when, to me, if you're going to do that, then be aggressive, because this is your window. We're over here in Dunedin with Toronto, and we're seeing what happened with Vlad Guerrero. How many times did they try to extend Vlad Guerrero? Well, as it gets deeper and deeper and deeper, it gets more and more and more difficult. As I've said a million times, Mookie Betts told me, said the toughest contract to turn down was that first time they come to him with that extension offer, but he turned it down. So make it a case where it's hard, almost impossible to turn down. And I think that's where teams miss the mark. So if you're going to go to Roman Anthony and you say he's worth this, well, make it a little bit more, because if you really think he's going to be a superstar, this is your best opportunity, because he, as we have seen with Mookie, with Vlad, with all these guys, you get deep, especially with position players, it gets really uncomfortable.
Now, you mentioned last week or the week before the big three prospects you think are all going to start the year in the minors. Do you think it's May or June call-ups, or what do you think the plan is going to be when we're going to see them?
Yeah, so with the only chance I think of a guy breaking is Roman Anthony, because of Willie Abreu. Willie Abreu still has that stomach thing, and he's going through tests today, and he's hoping that he's going to be cleared for live BP, but he's still behind. So that, and he's lost a lot of weight. So that would be the only avenue I think of one of these guys making the team. I don't think that's going to happen. And Marcelo Meyer, who I think of the three has looked the best so far, he's looked really, really good, but he's a shortstop. They're not playing him at second base. He's backing up Trevor Story. So he's going to start in the minors. And Christian Campbell, he's going off to a really slow start. They know that he isn't ready right now, so he'll go to the minor leagues. But I think all three of them will be in the major leagues certainly at some point this year. And again, if Christian Campbell gets off to a really, really hot start, and you have any struggles at second base, then that's the logical avenue for one of these guys to make their debut ahead of the others.
Okay, he's Rob Bradford every Thursday at 11:30 here on Jones and Keefe. Check out his work, WEEI.com, and on the Odyssey app, the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. Bradfoe, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate the updates. We'll talk to you next week.
Oh, man, anytime I can report from Dunedin, it's a good time. It's even better talking to you guys, so appreciate that.
All right, Bradfoe.
Thank you.
Joining us from Dunedin. You got to watch out for those mascots down there.
I'm telling you, he's got a real – you're talking about Keefe's Beefs. Bradfoe's all mascots.
I didn't realize
that's
that.
That's all it is.
Bradfoe and all the various yep. mascots.
True.
The parrot. I didn't even know the parrot was a – I didn't know that was a Pirates mascot.
I love the Pirates kind of swerving there, because you would think the mascot would just be, I don't know, a pirate. But they're like, nope.
No.
Parrot.
No.
Giant parrot. Great.
Well, to your point, though, the kids love these mascots. Kids
they
love
– They go crazy for them.
They love Wally and Tessie.
Yep,
I bet kids in Pittsburgh love that stupid bird that's beefing with Bradfoe.
That's taking a snooze in the stands.
All right, we'll get to your phone calls here. Some interesting stuff from Bradfoe. Sounds like Bregman will be the opening day third baseman. If you listen to him, good details there on the young prospects. Good details on Garrett Crochet as well. If you missed any of it, it'll be up shortly on the Odyssey app. You can also vote at Jones and Keefe. Our second matchup, Keefe, is officially up. We already told you earlier today about the Chargers Powder Blues against the Bengals White Bengal. That is the 116 in the football region of the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket. We now have our 116 in the baseball region. It is the Expos, the Red, White, and Blues, against what we're calling the Joe Carters, the number 16-seeded Blue Jays of the
Man,
early
those are
90s.
Both nice.
pretty nice. It's an all-Canada matchup. You can vote there at Jones and Keefe. We'll update some results, and we'll give you the idea on the seeding, the full bracket, coming up next. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll get to Patriots free agency in 60 seconds. Legal tampering on Monday. Free agency in full swing on Wednesday. We'll give you our 60-second plans, really the final plan for the Patriots entering free agency. I have a 60-second plan. Keefe has a 60-second plan. We'll get to those at noon as the Patriots are, in some circles, viewed as the most interesting team in free agency. Again, what are we referring to them as, Keefe?
They're the Dos Equis guy of the NFL. Very exciting.
So we'll get to that at high noon. In the meantime, if you visit Jones and Keefe on social media, on Instagram, and specifically on Twitter, at Jones and Keefe, you can vote in our first two entries, matchups rather, in the Jones and Keefe bracket. Now, Keefe, this took some extra negotiating, some extra time to fully set this up and go through all the matchups and seed everything and come up with all the uniforms. It was really more work than we expected. But already, we have a clear leader, I would say, in our first matchup of the day, the 1-16 matchup in the football region, the Chargers and their powder blues, the one seed, versus the number 16 seed Bengals, the white Bengal Tigers uniform. So that's been up now for over an hour. A good, healthy voting total there. We just posted our 1-16 matchup in the baseball region. That is the Expos, number one seed, in their red, white, and blues against the number 16 Blue Jays. We're calling those the Joe Carters. If you need a visual, you can seek those out as well, the visual aid at Jones and Keefe early on in the voting process there. But both 1-16 matchups, will continue to reveal those throughout the day.
Don't let the seeding fool you. You know, we put the seeding together, so we crunched the numbers. The selection committee yesterday after the show put these together. But this is really up to your vote. So even if – because sometimes I feel like when I've done these brackets in the past, whether it be like movies or TV shows or fictional characters – sometimes the seeding like wins out. You're like, this isn't like the NCAA tournament. This isn't like filling out like your like who you think
you're.
Like, who
you're
do
saying
you really like better?
That just gets in people's heads. Interesting.
I think it does. I think it legitimately does.
Huh?
Now these in this case, like I think both one seeds are really, really, really good. But these are good 16 seeds. This isn't like Monmouth. Like this is a good competitive field.
So I believe we have representation for local teams in every region. So I'll give you the seeds. We came up with these after the show, and this is an amalgamation. As you said, it's a selection committee, right? Like we went through this just like they do for the NCAA tournament. We got in a room, words were had, beefs in some ways were settled.
Tables flipped.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, speaking of beefs for Bradfoe and the mascots, there were a couple of good submissions on the text line if you want to hear.
What do we got?
617-779-7937. You have Keefe's beefs. We could also have Brad's foes.
Brad's foes.
Not bad.
Excellent. Real smart.
I also liked, where did this other one go? Oh, Brad Scott's. We could have, you could go through all the different Brad foe mascot rivalries.
Brad foes.
Brad's foes.
Brad's foes.
There's something there.
Yep, we're all around it.
Okay, so in the football region, the Patriots are the number two seed. That's a highly seeded team, the Pat Patriot.
Well,
number
we get excited
two seed.
Every time they bring them back. It's a great uniform. It's a great helmet.
The only one they're behind are the Chargers powder blue, so that's a strong two seed in the football region.
Well, I think this isn't even a home bias. I think each team has a really good uniform. Unfortunately, the Patriots don't use their best uniform most of the time. And then the other three are just incredibly classic. Like that's a good – the Red Sox, Bruins, and Celtics all have a good uniform.
I'm going to tell you right now, the only one I personally voted for was Pat Patriot. I did not personally vote for any of these next ones, but we only listed four each. So they would have been somewhere on my 16 if we seeded out 16 of them. Baseball, the Red Sox are the five seed in the baseball region. Actually, I'm sorry, we have two. We have, and what we did with all these doubles, because we did have some duplicates, we matched them up in the first round to immediately weed out the best of the Red Sox. So, yeah, you're right. We have two. We have the Red Sox traditional homes as the five seed. We have the Red Sox 70s pullovers as the 12 seed. So that'll be a first round matchup
the white
in the baseball
ones,
region.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we ended up – Billy and Nick really gave us a lot of pullovers and a lot of sleeveless when it came to the baseball.
They don't like sleeves.
No.
These guys are suns out, guns out all day long is what they are. In the basketball region, we have the Celtics. For some reason, I wrote home greens. That's incorrect. They're home whites. I think we went with the whites, or did we go with the greens?
No, I think greens.
Okay, so road greens is what I meant to write there. I have the wrong note. But Celtics are a four seed in the basketball region. That trails Nuggets, Skyline, Sonics of the 90s, and the Raptors, which Keith, you modeled yesterday.
Those are all really good. Like those are the NBA also provides a lot of like really bright colors. Seems like they go pretty intense. But I don't know. I think it's going to be tough. Like I have my favorites, obviously, but how it's going to go voting wise, this is as wide open as it gets. Usually, when you do these kind of March fields, the first couple rounds are just like bloodbaths. Like we've done like movies in the past. And you're like, you think it's a good idea, and then you get into some of these like 116, 215 matchups. You're like, all right, let's just skip ahead.
That's just a speed bump.
This is kind of legit. I like this.
And then in hockey, we have the Bruins, the hockey region, Bruins as the 3 seed. That trails the Whalers. People keep saying on the text line, they're like, you guys forgot the Whalers? There are 1 seed in the hockey region.
We did not forget the
Whalers. Not only did we not forget about them, they're a top seed. Yeah. Is what they are, according to the selection committee. Mighty Ducks, their original ones are 2, and then we have the Bruins 3. We're calling those the 1980s Cam Neelys is what we're calling those.
Love it.
Yeah.
The Cams.
Okay, so good local representation there. We'll get the full bracket shortly for you, and you can vote right now at Jones and Keefe in our first two 116 matchups, the baseball region and the football region. Already healthy voting totals there. Continue to do so at Jones and Keefe. Something we do on this show each and every Thursday, we put something on the clock. We're going to put Patriots free agency on the clock. We're going to give you our plans for the Patriots in free agency in just 60 seconds. I have a plan. Keith has a plan. You too can submit your plans for Patriots free agency at 617-779-7937. We will get to that with all your phone calls next.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.